I think, Medlars, you're going to have to reach out a little bit further.
Okay, Perry Pear.
Hey, Poms, what's going on? Are we ready to roll with this episode of 215?
Excuse me, Rhea. I think both you, Perry Pear, and the Medlars should try a double bird.
Whoa, Poms, you're flipping the bird in here.
That's right, Rhea.
Oh, and to anyone or anything in particular?
We are flipping the bird to coronavirus.
Indeed we are, Rhea. Indeed we are. We are flipping the bird to coronavirus.
It sucks.
Yes, it does suck, and I really appreciate the POM support for us humans managing this pandemic right now. So I'm totally down with this. I'd like to help out, too.
Oh, come in!
The Wildies, you are so welcome to come in, too. We're going to be flipping the bird to coronavirus. And I figure, hey, Mr. Quince, is the tape rolling right now?
Roger that.
Well, how about if we keep it rolling while we're practicing in the Cider House and also ask Ciderville out there listening right now, wherever you are, I think you could do this. I hope you can. You could shout it out, whatever, but get your middle finger ready because we're going to freaking flip the bird to coronavirus. Is everybody ready?
Ready.
Okay. On the count of three, one, two, three, flip the bird.
Flip the bird.
Flip that bird.
Flip it.
Feck off, Corona.
Stick it.
Ah, that felt good. I'm going to just like kind of hold up the bird a little bit longer now. I can see you, Medlars.
I got it, Rhea. I got it.
I know it's not easy with your little crown there, but yeah, you definitely it looks like a middle finger. Good job.
The situation sucks, Rhea.
Roger that, Mr. Quince. This worldwide scene, this pandemic does suck, but we're not going to let it get us down because we're in the Cider House, and in this place, Ciderville always swings towards happiness, and we have a fantastic chat coming up with Andy Hallett of Hallett Cider, based in Wales in the UK, and we should probably let people know a little bit about this here episode, right?
Yes, you should let people know, Rhea, if there's going to be a little bit of swearing.
You know, we're a little punchy because this was recorded at a cider fest. So hang in there. If you have a tender heart or tender ears, you might want to cover it. But right now, you know what? We're kind of nitty gritty and we're getting down with the world affairs. And, you know, just like feck off coronavirus. We're going with it. Is everybody ready?
Group hug.
Well, okay, obviously the Wild East star. So that's all I need to know to set off with this show. We're going to swing it right into a little bit of fun here with Andy Hallett when I first met him, and then bring you into the show and bring you up to date. Welcome to Cider Chat.
What's your name?
I don't have a name. I have a number. This is going to be a hard interview, isn't it?
You got
to,
yeah.
Is that going?
You're surprising me. I didn't think you'd be like so silly, but there you are. That's good. I'm glad.
Hang on. Silly or just off piece?
Bullshitting me.
Bullshitting.
Right now. Yeah, that's more like
bullshit
it.
Comes later.
Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Rhea Windcaller and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. On this episode 215, we have Andy Hallett of Hallett's Cider. This is a Welsh-based cider company, you would say, in like South Wales. If you looked at it on the map and you looked at West Country in England and you saw the city of Bristol where Banksy just did the most recent graffiti scene, and that's pretty cool, right? Banksy, who doesn't know Banksy, the gangsta graffiti guy. Across the water is Wales, and that's kind of relative, and you would find the farm that I'm not going to try to pronounce where Hallett Cider is located. But this recording with Andy actually happened at the Ross Cider Fest in 2019. And it's a lot of fun. We're a little punchy because, well, we're at a cider fest and having a good time, kicking back some ciders, trying a whole bevy of different products from an amazing assortment of makers. So we're going to be getting to that conversation soon. But first, we're going to have a wee bit of news out and about in Ciderville. Well, I'm just so happy to be back chit-chatting with you on Cider Chat. It's been 2 weeks since I released an episode. A lot has been going on. And I'd like to share with you a little bit of my story. Of course, the first quarter of 2020 has been very busy. I returned back from France after being gone for just about the entire month of February. Had a week home to kind of recoup and get myself in gear. I didn't really have any downtime at all. But I did get this episode ready in between that because I thought I was going to be releasing it. Had to sit on it. And then last week, I was scheduled to go to Boston to teach a seminar on the topic that I have a expertise in, which is leading chaos. Now, not like the wild yeast in the cider house where they're kind of like just creating their own scene. I guess maybe actually it is kind of a little bit like that, in that I believe that when chaos happens, it will lead us if we allow it, but we do have a choice in the matter. And that's what I teach people, is to provide them with the choice how to regain self-control, maintain self-control, and to direct chaos towards order once again. It's that constant yin and yang that is going on in the world right now. And if any time that we need that kind of work, we need it. And so it was a privilege and honor for me to help folks kind of maintain that and then go on to be able to train more people. Because this is it. This is not a test. This is a real deal. And, you know, hold on to your hat. So that's what I was doing. Then I came home and now I am in self-sequestering and catching up on life and ready to roll with this. So I'm going to take a little pause. When I come back, I have a couple announcements to make about, well, different events that are going on right now that you might want to get involved with in terms of cider, and some happy news.
Walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
2 weeks ago, when I wanted to roll out this episode, I was just biting at the bit to do that. I had 5 events ready to share with you. And I had to like delete all that, like good news. And now all I could say is hold on to your glass. These events, actually, one did take place. That was the Quince Propagation Roundtable and Scion Exchange. It took place in Vermont. I'll be speaking to Nan of Vermont Quince about that, getting a little bit more data that I could share with you. Really exciting. It's like a first ever event. And I know Zeke, who did work at Scott's Farm or Scott's Orchard right north of Brattleboro. Some of you might know this as being familiar. If you're from the other side of the world, it doesn't sound familiar at all. But anyways, he moved down to this area, the southern border of Vermont, many years ago, and top worked all these trees with really outstanding, you know, exotic varieties, right? Now that we like, you know, we lust after these varieties for cider. And he was very forward thinking at the time. And as such, he's been able to supply the Boston market with a lot of these like really nice boutique apples that nobody around here up until now has been able to grow. So Zeke is now evidently working up at Champlain Orchards, which is on the east side of Lake Champlain. It's a cidery, and that should be interesting. So he's in charge of the orchard, so some stuff happening there. So he was involved in that whole Quince propagation thing. I hope it takes place next year, and I'm really bummed I didn't get to go. Then Another event soon after, coming up next week, it's been canceled. And that's the Northeastern Cider Conference has been, well, I should say postponed, right? Again, Northeastern Cider Conference has been postponed. Also on April 18th, the Old Apples in New England. This was an extended offering from Franklin County Cider Days. That event has been postponed. CraftCon, that was going to take place in England on April 24th through the 25th, has been postponed. Oh, the sadness. So sad. But remember, this is postponed, right? When I, 2 weeks ago, I was just like, if this isn't a sign that cider going up, I don't know what is. And this is what life demands of us. Nobody said it was going to be easy. And right now, it's freaking hard. It's really hard to, like, if you have a loved one that you can't see because of quarantine or your friends or you're worried, I mean, it could be a very scary time. If you're living alone, all these different things going on and have kids, what do you say? Blah, blah, blah. It just goes on. It's hard. But life is hard. But that doesn't mean that we give up. And certainly anyone in Ciderville knows that, shoot, we didn't give up on cider. And we got it this far. It is not going to be backing down. I know you, Ciderville. You do not back down. That's just the way it is. As a podcaster, I've always been having to deal with, like, trying to make ends meet. I know that's really tough. And I can't say anything to that right now. It is tough. But I know you're tenacious. You are strong-minded, strong-willed. And God damn it, you're not going to give up. So don't. You got to keep on believing and keeping hope alive, because we're going to keep on going on. And feck, freaking coronavirus. I'm doing a double whammy right in here at the desk. Wham, 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 wham. So that's all there. You just got to hold on. Now, I haven't heard yet about Cider Summit that's going to take place in San Francisco. I have a feeling, actually, that's probably been canceled. I'm going to look that up while I'm talking to you right now. And yes, it's already been rescheduled. This is absolute happiness. October 17th, 2020, Cider Summit in San Francisco. That's when it's going to take place. And that's just going to be a beautiful time to drink cider. So you know what? Al Shapiro, he made a great cider out of a kind of a bummer glass there that he had to deal with. And go Cider Summit. It's a great offering. And unfortunately, I was actually planning on being out there. My own postponement was being able to go out and to celebrate my mom's birthday with my whole family out in California. And we postponed that. But if that's the worst that we have to face, we're doing A-okay, right? I mean, there's always something to crab about. But you know, at this point, it's kind of triage. What is the most important? And to me, personal safety and scene safety. That's a little piece from my curriculum. It's tantamount. That's what it's all about. Everything else will follow. So let me now go. I told you about some of the postponements that I know there's more. So pay attention to that if you've signed up for anything. But do know that there is some good news. And the good news that you can get involved with right now, as of today, is already taking place. This is on Twitter. So if you don't have a Twitter account, get a Twitter account, because this is a great way to get involved. And for Pete's sake, you might be a commercial maker and not even know that you're being mentioned right now. And this is a cider Cinderella bracket. So we know that March is typically like a big basketball time. And Matt Wendell, who is at South Ciders on Twitter. So it's at South, like East, West, North, South. South Ciders, S at the end. He's running this kind of like online competition where you just get the vote. And what I love about this is we can make like cider trending. You know, keep it like sequestering with cider. My goodness, get it out there. Why don't we bring some happiness and show that we could, instead of being complaining about that, we have to shut our doors just like everybody else and go out and like celebrate and honk your horns. This is a great horn honker to do via Twitter. So he's having this kind of like online competitions. And today it's let's see. Oh, and he's so funny, the things he writes. So I'm going to open up this 2020 Cider Cinderella Bracket Challenge First Round Midwest Division. He sets it up like basketball. And this is number 2 seated at Uncle John's Cider versus number 15 seated at Right B Cider. And then you just get to like click which one you want to pick for, and it immediately tallies it up. And I see right now that there's 4 hours left. And then tomorrow, when this episode goes live, so that's today, I guess, for you listening, there'll be another challenge round. I'm not sure who he has set up, but all I want to say is get involved in this. This is something to do right now. It's virtual. It's super cool. There is always a silver lining. We are going to make it through this. We are. Well, this has led me to the final announcement that I want to make this week before we go live with our chat pre-recorded at the Ross Cider Fest in 2019 with Andy Hallett of Hallett's Cider. And that is that I am releasing the England Cider Tour headed out on September 1st through the 6th of 2020. So we have 6 months out, but sign up is happening now. So what does that mean? That means that, yes, I believe that we are going to make it through it. We're going to be on the other side. And when we are going to be so ready to drink and to be able to see folks and get this world back in gear again. We're in this moment of time, but we're going to move through it. And I'm offering a couple different things here. So once this episode goes live, you'll also be able to go onto the Totally Cider page at ciderchat.com, or you could just look up totallycider.com and it'll bring you right there. And it'll tell you a bit about what is being offered on this England Cider Tour. It's pretty outstanding. It's going to be 6 nights. We're going to be staying over during Labor Day weekend, so it's like a long extended weekend. In the beginning, we're going to be down in Somerset, and then we'll be heading up to Herefordshire. We're going to go to the Cider Club at Ross Cider Fest one night. Then we'll be meeting some makers. I don't want to tell you about it all right now because I'll be talking about it. This provides me the opportunity to talk about good happiness. And we'll do some more traveling about. And then we're going to be going back to the Ross Cider Fest on Saturday. And this is an annual festival of cider and music. There's food. There are so many cider makers. So I think in total, you're probably going to be, you could see up to like 30 makers over the course of this here tour. It's going to be phenomenal. It's a small group. We're not moving around a lot at too many hotels. We're going to be staying at the Green Dragon in Herefordshire, down in Bristol, where I was talking about that earlier when we came into this episode. You could go hunt down the Banksy graffiti. Cool stuff. And as you will hear Andy and I talking about it, because we're right at the festival recording this, it is kind of like the Mecca for makers in that region. A lot go to it, and I was there last year, and it was really outstanding. And of course, it's the Johnson family that run the show. They've been doing it for a long time, Mike Johnson and now his sons. And it provides you an opportunity to be actually in an orchard outdoors. There's pears. There's all these smaller orchards with different varieties. It's just going to be wonderful. On top of then, going to see some amazing cider makers too, and some ancient peri pear trees. So yes, I have released the England Cider Tour for 2020. Go to totallycider.com. Sign up now. And because I know that, like, well, there's a pandemic going on, okay, things can change. So you could sign up, lock in this price right now. You have until, I think it's like May 1st to cancel. So that's a ways out there, and get a full refund. Yeehaw! With that said, now let's head to this conversation with Andy. And as you know, we were kind of coming in earlier on this here. Podcast, we're kind of a little bit punchy, and we're just going to go right into the conversation. And if you could, cue it up, Mr. Quince.
Roger that, Rhea. Counting one, 2, 3.
Okay, my name is Andy Hallett, and you shouldn't take me too seriously. We have a little farm in Wales, which is 1,000 feet up on a little mountain called Mynydd Maen. Translated, that means my mountain.
It, was that what was the language that you were using there?
Welsh.
Welsh. Right.
Which is Celtic.
Yes.
So we kind of arrived there 20-ish years ago. Cider started as a hobby. I'm an engineer as a profession.
What kind of engineer?
Mechanical, electrical, kind of design. If you need something made, I'll make it.
It's a good skill to have.
Kind of thing.
Cider,
yeah. It can be a rod for your own back.
You're problem solving through something. And so, that you know, a lot of people don't have that kind of country sensibility.
Yeah, that doesn't go away.
Do you know how to change a flat tire? Yes, you do, you know. So that's good.
So in the beginning, it was like making cider for me. Then after about a year, a friend said, you know, I like this. Can I get involved? That turned into a little bit of a big hobby. And then I retired when I was 47. I promised myself that when I was younger from engineering. And then I pretty much made a big lifestyle choice. And then went into cider making full time, really. And that's where we are today. The business has expanded to about 80,000 litres. But from there on in, you know, there's no plans for expansion because, like I say, it's a lifestyle business. We can do what we want to do. We've got no pressures from shareholders. And
You grew in a very
organic way. Yeah,
organic. Yeah. But you know, organic kind of is like one connotation. You grew in a way that was sustainable.
Oh, absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, one step at a time.
Yeah. Were you initially making cider just as a hobbyist? Yeah. And you learned to make cider because you went to a local, you know, friend and. Or how did that happen?
No, I've been making beer and cider since I was 17.
Oh,
16,
cool.
17.
Oh, yeah.
My brother and I had a little brewery in the garage. Then, you know, I went to university. Pete went to university after me.
Yeah.
When I was in university, used to make homemade wine just from, like, hedgerow stuff in buckets in the kitchen. However, you know, in doing that, you kind of instill the sort of embryonics of your knowledge of that kind of.
Absolutely.
So,
I mean,
so
it's
you make
a that you really have to work on for a while to get it.
So you start off making stuff that you think, okay, well, I can drink it.
Right.
And then you sort of tweak it until you think, actually, this is as good as the stuff that you can buy in the supermarket.
Right. Right.
And then, you know, you kind of push yourself. And then, like I say, we made a bit of a sea change moving to the mountains of South Wales. And then,
so were you there initially when you started off?
No, in the city, in Cardiff.
Cider.
No, in Cardiff. But that was wine.
Oh, okay. You took a little pathway I didn't know about. So you started out in wine.
Wine,
and
beer.
Right.
But that was pretty.
There's a whole lot of wine in England.
Not really, but like wine and beer, when you make it at home, it's a little bit rough.
A natural segue.
It's
a bit
rough.
Yeah, yeah.
But then we started making cider when we got to the farm because we had real fruit to work with, like real cider fruit.
Right.
And then that opens up another sort of vista to what you can do.
Yeah.
So, moving on from that, what started as pretty much an accident, you know, building a press in an afternoon,
not knowing quite what you're doing. And at the end of the day, well, end of the evening, sort of 2 o'clock in the morning, right. With 200 or 300 litres of juice in containers that weren't really sterilised properly and all the rest of it. And we sort of fermented it over sort of a week or so with wild yeast. And then, you know, using my winemaking experience. So I said to my mate, I said, well, we need to rack it now to get it off the lees. We did that. And then basically we had the foundation of a really kind of basic cider, if you like. Absolutely hit and miss that we had like a blend of apples that just worked.
Yeah.
And then in the spring.
Take me, how many years back was that?
19 years.
Okay.
18 years.
Just to get
years.
A scale of you know, how long you're doing it. Cause that's...
So anyway, that turned out to be really good cider. Then the following year, the guy I started making cider with, he wasn't so enthusiastic, so he backed out. So another friend stepped into the breach.
Was that the Hallett's at that point, or was
No. We were Blaine Gowney then, because that's the name of the farm.
I see.
Sort of bumbled along, if you like, for a couple of years.
But you were sticking with it.
But it was fun. You know, the kids were involved and the family were involved. Even your friends were involved.
Yeah, sure. Exciting.
And but then a year later, coincidentally bumped into in a pub, said, "Oh, you need to put your cider into a competition," and they picked up a bronze.
Bravo.
In a national competition, so we'll take that.
Yeah.
Fist pump for those who can't see. And from there on in, we just ticked along, because after the win, pubs started saying, "You know, we want your cider," blah blah blah. And from a really slow rolling boil to now where we are, when did
Hallett's become Hallett's? When did you gain that name?
2010, we had an opportunity to rebrand with a local authority grant, and in a long distant past I was in fine art and design and media, so...
Wait a minute. I'm a mechanical engineer. And then design, art, and media.
Yeah, okay, no, art. A long time ago, so that's
right.
Far
but
too...
But you're only 39.
That's, I look 39.
Amazing.
I look 39,
well,
but I'm actually 28.
Oh!
Okay, so...
well, that gets you into certain bars.
Yeah, so I condensed my life into several... microcosms.
Good. Well, you've done a lot in a short amount of time.
So at my real age now of, I don't know, 55, am I? Yeah. 55, yeah. I look 55, don't I? Ish. So, winding back, we took up this media opportunity, and the design agency that we took on board, we said, right, you guys, you take this, because if I take ownership of it, it'll be skewed to me. We need something fresh. So they said, you can't actually pronounce Blaine Gowney, which is a Welsh name, so you need to change it. So they changed to Hallett's. And then,
good thing you have such a perfect name.
Yeah,
right.
Fits in perfectly. That doesn't finish there. So then, when we get to the end of the design concept, we're looking at the image, and they say it's not quite right. And we'll look at it, and the designer says, We take a tea out.
Oh, so you're Andy
Hallett with two
double T's. God, you're like incognito in kind of a cool way, Andy. That is so cool.
Yeah.
But I mean, I could see where you're kind of like also saying you had a double L and a double T potentiality, but you know.
But it didn't look right.
It didn't look right, you know? Hey.
So I thought, right, okay. Wine back. Don't be precious. It's a brand.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not who you are.
My dad didn't like it. No one else, no one in my family liked it, but it looked perfect.
Yeah.
And it was simple. It appealed to a lot of people. I mean, look at that bottle over there. Hang on. We got to move.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. That's a nice bottle. I've only seen a couple makers use that kind of bottle. Yeah.
So look at that. Screen printed.
Yeah.
Where are you gonna find Hallett's on that?
No. On the back.
Just sneaky on the back.
Yeah.
So it's not.
So deviation. The action of departing from an established course or accepted standard. Deviation from the norm. ABV 8%. Of course these are empty bottles, but please tell me about it.
Well, they went off. We run out 980 bottles of this using a process which is not for champagne and partially Charmat, which is like Prosecco.
Mm-hmm.
So the process of putting that in a bottle is pretty much I've invented. So we got a standard bottle filler. And we chopped off all sorts of pipes on it, and then I put new valves on it and reinvented it, if you like. It's not an easy thing to do.
Okay, well, good thing you're a mechanical engineer.
However, if you've ever tried it, it's taken 4 years to get from fermented in bottle to not happy with fermented in bottle to re-fermenting in bottle and still not happy with fermenting in bottle.
Wow.
To
that's a long process.
Let's change the direction completely.
Yeah.
Ferment it in tank, you know it's safe. Rack it out of tank. Goes through primary alcoholic, secondary malolactic, then into a pressure tank. Then we pitch a new cider in from the new harvest, which has got some life in it, that'll pressurize the tank. Then we leave that cell. Then after that, we get it to our carbonation pressure that we want. Then we can adjust that with CO2 by forced carbonation, just like Prosecco is. And then we leave it, we let it settle. And then what happens is we put it through a filter, and then we put it into my contraption of a bottle filling machine, which is chopped up normal bottle filler.
Very cool. Very cool. Wow. And how many, this machine is, how big is this machine? Is it just, is the reed kind of very, like, so he's holding, and he's holding his arms out.
2 foot wide. Bit,
2 foot wide, yeah.
18 inches high.
18 inches high. Cool.
But it looks like something out of Frankenstein.
Well,
but
so
it worked.
Are you able to like make a couple of these? Do you need a couple, or you just need one?
No.
Ambient
temperature. What I've not mentioned, this all happens in a cold store. So we have a cold room. So the tank where the fermentation and filtration takes place is in the same room, and the filling and the bottles and everything, the washing. Cold washing, so that so when we fill the bottle, it's the same temperature as the product. So there's no thermal gradient, so there's no shock.
And you're using a very specific kind of bottle. What is this style called?
I've no idea. It's a beautiful Italian bottle.
Right. It has the nipple going in on the bottom of the bottle. This is something I've seen, like Eric Bordelais uses this very wide, round base, like a almost like a inverted wine glass with a long neck and that...
Like an inverted flute.
That string lip there for the...
Now, don't forget, this bottle is designed for a champagne bouche. However,
is that how you present it? How do
no,
you?
No, because we put a 29 mil crown cap on.
Oh, interesting.
But inside there's a polythene bidule, and that bidule is designed so it will let any dissolved oxygen left in the product.
No kidding.
Can be passed through that bidule. But CO2 is retained.
Why is the CO2 retained and not released like the oxygen? It's because of kind of
molecular size.
A different kind of gas.
The gas,
Is that true for all like crown caps? Are they designed
no,
or is that a specific kind of crown cap?
No, that I chose that cap from a winemaker that makes...
Why isn't everybody using that kind of crown cap?
It doesn't look right.
Well, on that kind of bottle, you mean?
Deviation.
Yeah.
It's not.
I mean, you could have the cork and cage.
Nothing about this. It's not bottle fermented.
Right.
It's not method champagne noir.
That's a big bottle. You could hear him putting it down on the table here. You know, it's like, boom. Because it's a, you probably know the weight of that.
No, I don't.
You don't? I can't believe that. Next time I see you, I'm going to quiz you on the weight of that.
750 grams, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, because that, and so.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, 750, yeah. I guess.
For locals, it's a great, great one. I know that your cider goes further than your region here. What parts of the world can people get Hallux? Well, Margot's from Utrecht.
Okay, that's Holland.
I know. That's another
near.
Country. Yeah.
So, furthest east would be Hong Kong. Furthest west would be Canada. So yeah, we shipped out a pallet this morning.
Well, we're in Canada.
Okay, Ontario.
Ontario.
Yeah.
Ontario.
So it's LCBO. Yeah.
All right, right. You gotta love the Canadians. My God, I adore them. Very cool. Well, that's good. That's pretty wide export range. How has that been for you?
Beyond my pay grade, to be honest.
A lot of paperwork.
No. I kind of stick to the cider mill.
Ah.
And my wife Annie, she does everything else. And,
yay, Annie.
Our son Andy, he helps me with the mill, yeah?
Yeah.
But he's like taking a lead up there nowadays because like I'm getting old. Very old.
It's all in your mind.
No.
Age is really relative, man. Okay. You know, it's all how you walk it. If you say you're getting old, then yeah, you're getting old.
I'm getting old.
I don't know. My mother's 99. That's old.
That is old.
So she would look at you and like be
spring chicken,
giving you a cackling laugh.
All right. That's pretty good.
Okay. Well, we'll just leave it at that. Just change that out. Well, look, it's really nice hearing your story. And are you going to have are you coming back or is this just tonight?
No, tonight, yeah. I got loads of stuff to do on the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, nice event. Have you been here before?
Yeah. Oh, this is kind of the annual must go to.
I can see why.
Well, it's, you know, you got all your peer cider makers.
Yeah.
And some of the guys here, I'm not joking. There are guys here that are making a couple of liters for their house, and there are guys here that are making hundreds of thousands of liters for mass production. Mm-hmm. However, all of them have the same passion. I hope.
They wouldn't be here.
No.
So, without a doubt, there
are people here.
That's cool.
And I think I need to take my hat off to the small guys, less than 7,000 liters, that actually, well, got me where I am, and you know, and still stick to those traditions. Getting too big can be.
Yeah, it's always a blend, a balance. You know, but that goes to business. You can't complain about it. If you're going into business, that's part of the piece. You know, when do you scale up? When you scale up, you get employees. It's a different issue.
Yeah.
And I have a background in organizational management.
So we got to a point where it's like, right, okay, this is how much we can do. That's where we're sticking.
Right.
And that's where we've stuck.
Right.
So, but don't forget, in business, there's swings and roundabouts. So you gain and you lose.
Yeah.
So it suits us quite well.
You got to just have a good, strong constitution to swing with the highs and the lows. But as Mom would say, don't let your highs get too high.
Get too low.
Keep it mellow. Keep it mellow.
Oh, look, there's Marco Sandus, the beautiful Dutch cider distributor.
I know.
They're talking about me.
Oh, who's this guy?
Andy, it's nice to meet you. Oh, right on.
I got beautiful in Dutch. That's the only thing I
want. Yay.
My famous
Dutch. Manage. Without.
I was giggling a lot just listening to that little piece there. It was fun, you know, and that also gives you a little bit of a on-site look at what it's like being at the Ross Cider Fest. I mean, you are able to be there and bump into amazing makers like Andy and Margo. It was just like one person after another who is full-on in the cider sphere in the UK. And I'm referring to Margo. That's Margo Sanderser. She's of the Het Cider House based in Utrecht in the Netherlands. And I met her, back in 2016, I'm going to say. It's when I organized the first cider meetup with a whole bunch of folks in Amsterdam back then. And it was so awesome to meet her. And actually, she had brought a bottle of Ross on Wye cider. And that was my first ever Ross on Wye cider. So she was there at the Ross Cider Fest and pulled me over to meet Andy. And I was speaking a little bit of Dutch. And at the very end, you heard her say, badonk. At the very end of this, little conversation, we were kind of air kissing, badonk. And badonk is a Dutch word, which is kind of like you would say, congratulations, thank you. It's like a very firm thank you. I love that. Badonk. Another little piece about that scene, we were in the barn, and on the Saturday that the Totally Cider Tour going to the UK, the day that we're going to be there on Saturday. And in the barn, they invite outside producers to come, and you could taste a whole range of producers and also buy their products to go. And then there's food being made, and you're able to walk in the Perry Orchard and the different orchards that they have there. This is a fantastic fest. And, you know, you heard it from Andy that this is an annual kind of like ritual to go to the Ross Cider Fest. And I could see why the Johnson family, you know, that's Albert Johnson, Mike Johnson, and Martin Johnson, and also John the Cider Maker, all these people just make it so special. And a lot of people that you've been hearing on this podcast, Ed and his wife Beck, and, you know, good, good people. I'm stoked. So if you want to meet somebody like Andy Hallett, who just told us a whole cool backstory of branding and how he's making his cider, taste the cider, come with me to the UK September 1st through the 6th. Get your reservation in now. You're going to have to put in a deposit, and then you put another deposit later. You can make it so. It's a good time to go to the UK. The dollar couldn't be stronger than it is right now. If anything, it's going to get a little bit stronger probably. And, perfect time of the year to go. You'll be able to eat a pear, bite into it, taste it, taste an apple, and meet wonderful people there
drinking cider. As I am rolling out of here, I want to put a little anchor into your thought pattern. If you want to have some fun online and get into the cider buzz, which is a much nicer word that starts with a C, then join at South Ciders on Twitter. Put your voting in now for the Cinderella Bracket. It's with makers around the world, and the more people that engage, the more fun it is. And it is all in good fun, because we know cider equals fun. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Fun. There is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh yes, there is. There is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet. We like cider. We like palms, we like orchards, having some fun.
There is a reason. There is a reason why we do it like this. Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh yeah.
We like cider.
Oh yes, we do.
We like palms.
Oh yes, we do.
We love orchards, having some fun.
There is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There's a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum. Ba-da-da-dum.
We like walking down the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh yeah.
We like cider.
Ba-da-da-dum.
We like palms.
Oh yes, we do.
We like orchards, having some fun.
Yeehaw!